Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I can't find that on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Say, kids, what time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Bob, how you doing?
I can tell you're very uncomfortable because you're not running the show.
Bitch, I don't listen that far out and solid and right on, Bob.
Jeff Lutz.
I thought I was a pretty good number one guy. For most of the time, sometimes not, and I'd be the first to admit it.
It's all fun on top.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Don't touch that guy.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show. KFH Radio. It's Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz with you until around 4 o'clock today. Max Fire producing and engineering the show. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. When were you ever the number one guy?
What were we talking
about? Nice promos, by the way, that Max has updated and started to put in, and we appreciate that.
I didn't really hear it, so I don't know.
Something about you being the number one guy. I don't recall.
Well, that's happened a long time ago.
I don't recall when that happened.
Oh, it must have been a long time ago then. So
you're
far
right
back
today,
you can't remember.
Seem a little subdued.
I'm a little
is it
subdued.
The weather?
No, I don't know what it is. Just a little sensitive to things today for some reason.
Why can't I ever know exactly what I'm going to get here? I mean, it's like you're bringing in a box of chocolates
every
day.
It'll be fine. Everything's wonderful.
And usually I get the coconut one, and I don't like the coconut one.
Well, get the caramel one.
Well, you never are the caramel.
Get the double chocolate guy. Get the coconut
cream. You're
always cream.
The coconut one.
Get the marshmallow.
What I do is I put it in my mouth and I spit it out.
It is what it is, I guess.
And I don't care for coconut. Now, talk about a guy who should be subdued. Sitting in my house last night, we're watching television, having a good night, enjoying our new kitchen, you know, all the things we've
from
done.
The living room.
Well, but we go out there.
Okay. What do you do in the kitchen?
We get our drinks and our food and...
It's good stuff.
What are you trying to mock
I'm
now?
Not mocking. I'm asking. What have you cooked any of your concoctions lately?
I haven't cooked anything yet since we got the kitchen. I'm almost scared to. I did go get an area rug today for the dining room table. But last night, anyway, I'm sitting and enjoying TV and my wife and dog, and Debbie goes downstairs, and she hears this gurgling sound and coming up from the drain area of our utility area. And so she says, we got an issue. So I go down and look at it, and sure enough, we have an issue. I call a 24-hour plumber.
Is there a leak?
And we find out our hot water heater had busted open.
Uh-oh.
Inside. And drainage and leaking. And so fortunately, this guy, and Cody, wherever you are, if you're listening, thank you for getting out, and thank you for your friendliness. And,
on a Sunday night.
Sunday night. And he got it taken care of with a new hot water heater, went to the warehouse and got one. And by about 10:15 last night, we sent him on his way with a new hot water heater.
Man, that charge
I
must
won't tell
be
you how much we
astronomical because of the after hours and
not
my
so
goodness.
Much the after hours. It's just those things are expensive.
I understand, but part of it is the labor and the.
Well, that was $149 for the after hours.
That's not terrible, I guess.
The rest of it, I don't even want to talk about.
Well, we don't need to know.
On top of everything else, the kid could use a raise, Tony.
Who's Tony?
Tony Deucing.
Who's? What do you mean?
Well, I could use a raise.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy who came out. Who cares about you? You didn't do anything.
Well, I paid him. And here's what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about a 10-cent an hour bump. I'm talking about doubling or tripling what I get.
Good luck with that.
Well, don't. If you really had to think about it, don't you think that would be?
As I said, go for
rational?
It.
Rational.
Good luck.
Wouldn't you think
go
that?
Go get
would,
it. Go get the bags.
I'm asking you.
I don't care. So yeah, I can't.
You don't care what I make.
No, not even a little bit.
Why is that?
Well, why should I?
I care what you make.
No, you don't. We make.
Sure, I do.
We make the same thing.
Of course I care.
As we should.
Which, by the way, is an absolute travesty.
No, it's not.
Tony, if you're listening, think about this. I'm gonna say this very slowly.
Why do you have to be like this?
What do you see? You even know.
I even know what?
You know.
I'm doing fine.
Yeah. You're getting paid what I get paid. My name's on top of the marquee.
There is no marquee.
I do most of the guest booking.
That's your choice. If
okay,
you want to,
we're turning it over to you.
No, that's not my choice. You're the leader.
Max.
No, that's what you claim. So,
no, Max, get that into a promo.
No, we're not going to get that into a promo.
And
you're
send
turning
it
my
to Tony,
sensitivity into rage.
Send it to Odyssey, the higher ups, and let's get something going here. Chiefs lose one last night, yesterday afternoon. It felt like last night. Buffalo, dark and dreary. Although good weather, apparently.
Was it dreary?
Yeah, it's always dreary.
It was like in the 50s, I thought.
Well, I understand that, but didn't it feel dreary watching it on TV?
It felt like Buffalo. Felt like a game at Buffalo. It was kind of cool, but not cold.
My guy, Josh Allen, my quarterback in my fantasy league, good job.
Well, that was an unbelievable run to secure that game.
I knew he was going
to
do it.
Yeah, but I didn't know he was going to look that good doing it and score and, you know, just kind of trucking some people, evading tacklers. And then the interception at the end by Buffalo was also pretty amazing. So they earned it.
Would you want to try to tackle Josh Allen?
No, but if I'm Chris Jones, I would. If I'm, you know, somebody in the defensive backfield,
I'd
give it a
shot. When he gets up ahead of steam, I don't care who you are.
Trent McDuffie, I might give it an effort.
I wouldn't want to try to tackle that guy. So anyway, the Chiefs have now lost the game. The AFC is shaping up. I think I can tell you right now who the 7 playoff teams are.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh, I've been sneezing more lately. Is that seasonal?
Did you just pick the teams with the 7 best record right now? Is that... Because anybody could do that. Where did you get creative? Where did you
There's
go
no
off the
creativity
beaten path?
To have. It's
Cincinnati still has something to say.
No, they're done.
No, they're not. Look at their schedule. They have
they're
Pittsburgh
done.
Twice and nobody. So if they split with Pittsburgh, they're a 9-win team and they could
they're
sneak
done.
In.
Here's who I have in.
Nobody's done.
They are. Because here's who I have in. Now, we don't know about the seeding. Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, 3 best records in the AFC. Then you have the Chargers, who held on and won last night to improve to 7-3. Baltimore, 7-4. Houston, 6-4. And the Denver Broncos are going to get in because that young quarterback is coming into his own in a big
Bo
way.
Nicks.
And that guy, Sean Payton, can coach. they're not. Nobody wants to face Denver right now.
They're tough. Bo Nix has been very, very good.
They have nobody you've heard of.
They just have a like Cortland Sutton is a guy.
Yeah, but look at their main receivers. And Cortland Sutton's good. He's okay.
They have Marvin Mims. They have
that's what I'm talking
Lil
about.
Jordan Humphrey or Pumphrey or something like that. They have Audric Estime at running back.
But you're making my point for me.
I'm not trying to not make your point. I'm trying to
they have the most
accentuate your point.
Unknown group of offensive players you'll ever see, and here they are. I won't say out of nowhere, but they lost to Baltimore big just a couple weeks ago. But they're playing really well. Now, you can't put a whole lot of stock into their win yesterday. Who was it against?
Atlanta, and yeah, you can. They crushed them.
Atlanta's on the downside, aren't they?
Probably, but the manner of victory has to mean something. It's not like they squeaked it out. Atlanta's shown itself to be a competent, capable football team over the course of this season.
Bo Nix, 28 of 33, 307 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 1 sack. That's one of the better quarterback performances of the year anywhere.
And I sat him in one of my fantasy leagues, and now I've got to sweat out a Nico Collins
game tonight.
Why'd you do that? I don't know. It's hard to do.
Devon Vealey, is that how you say his name?
I believe.
Don't know him.
Or Valet.
Don't know him. Little Jordan Humphrey. Don't know him.
Yeah. He had a touchdown
Marvin
yesterday.
Mims Jr. I've heard of him, but
he was out of Oklahoma. He was a pretty well thought of draft pick a few years ago. Hasn't turned it into much.
Javonte Williams. Now that's their one guy who has a track record, and he's
yeah, but
good.
He's not that good.
He's okay. He's good.
They're giving other guys carries and trying to.
He had 9 carries for 59 yards yesterday. He has not had as good a year this year as he did last year, but part of that is because they've increased their passing game.
And they've given other guys carries,
too. Bo Nix was awful earlier this year. And now he's become a guy.
He had a lot of time in college. He played at high-level programs. He played in high-level games. He arrived at the NFL more of a finished product than some of these other rookies.
He
and
had four interceptions in his first 2 games and has had 2 since.
There you go.
This guy, Sean Payton, who you don't like.
Neither do you.
I don't mind him now. I like winners.
Oh, now you don't. Now you don't mind him when he said you couldn't wear a bucket hat. That's when you. I mean, I forget Sean Payton. So he can't earn. He can't
not,
win me back.
You're never going back.
Once you've lost me, I'm done with you.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a loyal guy. You want to go and betray me? Turn your back on me and
well,
my values?
We at least admit he's a good coach.
He's fine. Why wasn't he a good coach last year? Why couldn't he turn?
Because he didn't have anything. Oh. Unless you have a quarterback.
Mike Tomlin has Russell Wilson now, and they're 8-2.
Mike Tomlin's a different cat.
He's a better coach than Sean Payton.
He's a defensive-minded coach, and they went right after a very good offensive team in the Baltimore Ravens, and they just basically don't let you do anything. They're fun to watch in that way. I know you don't like the Steelers either.
I don't mind
the
Steelers.
Mike Tomlin.
What are you talking about?
You've said it on this show.
You just make stuff up. Why do you get to make stuff up? I thought you were a journalist.
Well, you've said you don't like Pittsburgh. You don't like the way they play.
Not really. I don't really mind the Steelers. They got some guys that are, you know, you can root for them a little bit.
When you can build a team around defense in this era of anything, I'm impressed by you. Look at high school football. It would appear that none of the good athletes are that interested in defense. I don't have that. I haven't talked to anybody about it.
I don't know.
But if you look at the scores of games, everybody's scoring 40, 50 points.
Seems like it.
Now, Derby obviously holds people down as well.
You know who holds people down that I was surprised by? It's not going to matter this week because they play Andale. But Holcomb, they've won their playoff games. They give up like 10-7 was one of their scores, and they're going to get hammered. We all understand that. But
well, Andale's on a different level. So we have Andale in Class 3A. We have who's our 2A representative?
I don't know. I don't know that we have one. 1A is Conway Springs. I'm not sure. Garden Plain lost.
Garden
Beloit.
Plain lost. Medicine Lodge, did they win?
They're out.
Well, we don't have a 2A rep.
I don't think we do.
In 4A, we have Bueller.
And Andover Central. That's a game.
I hope it's a game. Andover Central's starting to look like they're on a little bit different level, too.
A little bit, but I think Bueller will have a little something for
them. Well, we'll see.
It might not be a...
By the way, we have Steve Warner, Bueller coach, on today at 2:45. I'm usually right about this stuff.
All you do is look at scores like everybody else.
But I try to tell people.
What do you tell them?
I tell them when I see a game that I don't think is going to be particularly close.
Hasn't Bueller been running it up on some people lately?
I think Bueller can. I'm not saying that's going to be a 45-7 game. But Andover Central looks like they're on a different level.
Well, they're going to probably, if what you say is true, they're going to take on Miege, and that's a game I think a lot of people want to see.
Let's say they got to beat Miege. I may even go to that game.
I think they will, if they make it.
If Miege makes it.
No, if Andover Central
makes it. If Miege
makes it. Miege is going to make
it. No, I don't know about that.
Who they play?
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
Miege lost 4A. Six games this year.
To 5A and 6A teams. Mostly 6A.
Yeah, but that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it does when you're playing a 4A playoff schedule.
Who's our 5A rep?
Goddard Eisenhower.
Who do they have? Hayes. Tough game. That'll be close. That'll be a knockdown, dragout.
Hayes has shown a lot in the playoffs. I don't know what happened, but.
Well, they're good.
They weren't that good in the regular season.
Trust me on that. That's all I ask.
I'm not, no.
And then in 6A, we've got Derby Manhattan. And while I believe Derby will win the game, that's going to be a fascinating game.
They'll win by a lot.
I don't think they'll win by a lot.
I think they'll win.
Not what you're used to Derby
winning. At least 20.
35-20.
40-20. 41-20.
35-20.
Nah, it's not going to be that close.
That's my early guess. And as the big fella Anthony will tell you, I'm usually spot on.
Doesn't sound like it. Because if Anthony has to tell me, then there's probably something that you're not telling me.
Now you're dogging Anthony.
No, I'm saying there's probably something you're not telling me. Bishop Miege plays Tonganoxie, and Bishop Miege by 1,000 is going to be the score of
that. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, I tried to tell you, too, that Mill Valley Aquinas game was going to be one of the great playoff games we've had, not just this year, historically, in the state of Kansas. And if you follow that one, what was a one-point game, I think 23-22, Aquinas moves on.
Those might be the two best. Those are definitely the two best teams in 5A.
Now wait a doggone minute.
I'll put Derby ahead of them, but you know those might be the second and third best teams in the state. And then you know whoever else you want to put.
Well, wait a minute now. Don't be selling some people short.
Who am I selling short?
Goddard Eisenhower.
Well, Goddard Eisenhower might get its crack at St. Thomas Aquinas and their dynastic program and their dynastic coach, Randy Dreiling, who wins just state championships all the time.
He's the Phil
Jackson of Kansas high school football.
We have a lot to get to today on a Monday. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Boy, K-State just got dominated by Arizona State on Saturday night up in Manhattan. We'll break all of that down with Fitz. And then, as I said, Steve Warner, head football coach at Bueller. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk KU football with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. They went and did what several of us thought they would do, and that's beat BYU on the road.
Yeah,
kind of saw that
your little nonsense. It's 9:15 start.
I'm not going to see.
When, I pick Kansas.
When I allow you to influence me in any way, it always goes awry.
You had a horrible week.
I got my bonus.
Yeah, but that's about it. I won the week this week.
I got another game right.
We got to figure out what to do about Duda. He picked the wrong bonus game in which he missed. What I'm going to do with him, because he can't follow instructions, he loses that game and the bonus points. I'm not here to babysit.
All right, that's fine.
You can't follow the directions.
Yeah, all it takes is a little reading. I looked at that email you sent looking for, like, okay, well, how could this have been confusing? And there was nothing. So that's on dudes.
So
no question about it.
Sorry, he still had a good week because he gets – the guy, I hate to say this, does he know the NFL?
Nah, he's getting lucky. He hasn't ever done this before.
But he'd have you believe that he is – Jimmy the Greek or Howie
Long. Well, I'm waiting for that addition onto his house then. If he's that good, let's see some tangible product out of that. Let's see something.
Can't pick a college game to save his life.
Well, I don't think he likes or cares or watches college football.
I watched all of that K-State game.
As did I, believe it or
really?
Not.
Really? Now, wait a minute. Are
I
you,
did.
Raise your right hand.
No, I don't want to raise any of my hands, but we did watch it.
Did you watch any of the KU game?
Maybe a quarter before I switched over to SNL or something.
What?
Yeah, I don't need to watch football all night. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you need to watch the teams we talk about.
Yeah, those were going late, though. I want to get my weekend update in and go to bed.
I'll just say this about SNL. Saturday
not very
Night
good.
Live. Huh?
It's not very good.
It's okay. They hit and miss, but Sarah Sherman is one of the funniest people alive.
She's good.
Can I say that?
Is this
her
enough?
A little deal about the squirrel during the weekend update. You'd think there's no way anybody. She is hilarious.
She's very funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, good. No question.
Why do you have to downplay?
I'm not.
Why don't you just say, like, you know, you're right. She is.
Well, I think a lot of people came to this revelation a year or two ago.
But why can't you just jump in?
I jumped. I'm already in the pool.
You have more hang-ups than...
I've already actually dried off and got back in again.
I mean,
believe
it
or not.
My goodness. Let's take a break. Tim Fitzgerald joins us next. We'll break. Well, not a great week for the Cats. We'll get Tim Fitzgerald's thoughts next. The Bob and Jeff Show here, KFH.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
This This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Hotline 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox.
It's a lot. It's a mouthful.
Tim Fitzgerald joins us. You partner with the Xbox, Fitz?
Why do they need an official breakfast?
I'm never going to figure it out. I just read what I'm handed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'd probably accept an official bourbon of Tim Fitzgerald sponsorship.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's go back close to 48 hours or so. Arizona State comes into K-State. I think we all thought K-State would handle Arizona State. Maybe we failed to give the Sun Devils enough credit. After watching that game, I came away thinking they've got one of the best young coaches in college football. They've got a hell of a quarterback. They've got a dynamic running back who I thought K-State actually did a good job against after the first quarter or so. And they've got a really good receiving core. Arizona State's not getting enough credit. We're talking about how K-State blundered. How good is Arizona State, in your opinion?
Well, they were good enough to win. I know that. And they kind of just dictated that entire game. Even in the second half with the lead, they used the rules to their advantage to run the clock down, something we discussed at the press conference today, and how there's a loophole in there that they drove a car right through and were able to drag about a minute and a half off the game clock when K-State had the ball and wasn't substituting. It was a very interesting situation. Yeah, I learned a new rule. So K-State's just got to be better. I mean, they just weren't good at all. They didn't look good on offense. Eventually defense faltered, and special teams was a disaster. It's a weird thing to have after an off week in your 10th game of the season to have such a clunker of a performance. But you're right, a lot of that was Arizona State.
My son disagrees. He gave me the, boy, they were just
I said
okay.
They're all right. Typically strong, I guess, K-State performance would have beaten them. Am I wrong?
No, I have not really covered a K-State game at home in that context before, where the team just looked so effortless, and I don't mean that as a compliment. They just didn't seem to even want to be there. And I don't get it. I don't know how that came to pass, but now they have to deal with it. They're not out of the Big 12 race for Arlington, but they're about as far away as you can get right now, and they need to focus on winning these two games. They are 7-3. I mean, you got two games and a bowl game all guaranteed. You can get a 10-win season if that's important to you, or if you've chucked it in, just let the fans know so they can plan accordingly for the rest of the season.
I'm certainly not the biggest of K-State fans, but my daughter does go there. I watch them pretty regularly, and I'm invested, I would say. So I guess I would look at them with a more critical eye than normal. And you add on to that Avery Johnson, a Wichita guy who is under the microscope. Is he the guy? There seems to be some kind of misfit with him with the rest of the offense. I don't know if it can be pinpointed. Am I seeing something different than you're seeing?
No, he's not good right now. And I don't know if his injury has lingered and they want to protect it. If he's just gun shy to run or someone's telling him not to run, but there was a pass that, he threw into the tight end in the back of the end zone that was incomplete when he could have probably walked into the end zone, and he didn't do it. And it was a little bit out of character for what we've seen from him or what we knew his game was about. And I just don't think he's quite playing his game. And Chris Klieman said today at the press conference they're going to have to use Avery in that running game more than they are.
Tim Fitzgerald with us, GoPowerCat.com. K-State coming off a 24-14 loss on Saturday against Arizona State. So you said they didn't look enthused, that they looked like they didn't really want to be there. We had this same conversation after their loss at Houston. Yep. When does this become a red flag? When does the alarm start to go off if it hasn't already. How do we get to the bottom of why this could possibly be?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think for a lot of fans, the alarm has gone off. I'm going to wait to see what they do against Cincinnati. If they come out and, you know, with the same lack of enthusiasm that I've noticed this throughout the season, they just don't come out of that locker room with much fire. They're just going to jog out there and go about their business, and they haven't been a good first half team. And this time they got so far behind they couldn't dig out of it. I'm going to hold back on first half of Cincinnati. Let me see what happens here, and if not, why bother, you know, with a lot of in-depth coverage if they're going to shut it down and go through the motions? I think the fans will too.
What are we hearing about Dylan Edwards and his injury? I guess I just haven't remembered to follow up on whether he's going to be out for a while or not. And Giddens is the only guy back there, he looked really good in the second half. I don't know if that was just a defense kind of backing off or what, but what does the running game look like if it's kind of just Giddens as the bell cow? I guess it has been already.
Yeah, we're not sure. Chris Kleiman didn't have an update on Dylan Edwards or Keegan Johnson, who tweaked a hamstring in warmups, both very similar injuries. We don't know about the severity and how long it'll keep them out, but you know, typically that'll get you through the next 2 weeks. You'll be down for that. And K-State went to Joe Jackson in the second half, and every time Joe's gotten the ball this year, he's been pretty good. He scored another touchdown. I think he will get a lot of work in practice today. And in fact, Chris Kleiman mentioned today, I thought this was really interesting, when Dylan Edwards went out, he took with him a big chunk of the game plan because they had designed a bunch of stuff with Dylan. And he said, I really regret not trying to run some of it with Joe Jackson because they're similar players. We'll see what the young guy can do this weekend if he gets more carries. But Chris Kleiman also mentioned DJ Giddens is a little bit banged up. So the workhorse has some dents in it.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. K-State again coming off a loss to Arizona State. Chris Kleiman was fairly emotional in his huddle with reporters. He battled some vertigo earlier in the year. We think he's had some things going on inside his personal life that are affecting him. Could that be the answer to my earlier question as to why the Cats seem a little down and out right now?
I don't know how that would affect the team. I mean, it's not something he's openly discussed too often. I mean, I'm privy to the details of it. And as I've told my subscribers, it's not in his household, but it's very adjacent. And he also mentioned today that they got some good news over the weekend after that game. So that's probably going to take a little pressure off of the Kleiman household because there was a lot of stress there. He seemed a lot better at today's press conference. And because of the way he looked, so defeated in so many ways, a lot of fans have been wondering if he's going to retire. So I literally asked him, that was the first question of the press conference, have you considered it? And he said, I haven't even mumbled those words to anyone. So maybe that means he's thinking about it, but hasn't told anyone. But I don't think he's retiring.
So I'll go to basketball real quick. What did you make of the loss to LSU? It seems, you know, just kind of an early season game. All these guys are still trying to get used to playing with each other. I think not everyone is even available at this point. But what did you make of that?
It was awful. I mean, it was not a fun 3-day stretch for K-State fans. I appeal for the fans that came in from out of town to watch the basketball game on Thursday, the football game on Friday, or excuse me, on Saturday, because the best day of the week was probably Friday. I mean, they saw just two pitiful performances by teams that didn't look interested in competing, and that's just so out of context for K-State teams and for the fans to handle. It's got the fan base a little moody because basketball just looked awful, disinterested against LSU.
Yeah, and then there's the whole way that college athletics has changed, I think, lends something to this as well, because you get a team that loses a couple, you start to fear, well, what's going to happen in the off season and the transfer portal? You got K-State basketball really opening up the pocketbook in NIL, and then you got that performance. And I'm telling you, fans are not used to all of this, and they don't really know how to process it all. And this new world of college athletics, I don't know where it's headed, but I don't – help me out, Fitz. Finish my sentence like you always do.
Well, it's craziness. This is not what anyone signed up for, and I'm glad the players are getting paid. Don't get me wrong. They deserve, you know, to get something out of this more than a scholarship, I guess. But we're going to see a lot of coaches get out because it's just not what they want to do. We've seen that a little bit on the basketball side recently. And this isn't sustainable. They absolutely have to find some way to make this make sense a little bit more, because the coaches just are inundated. Nobody signed up to be a college football coach to basically worry about player salaries and roster moves like the transfer portal becomes. That's more professional type things, and it's really, and it's also kind of a disconnect for fans now. You know, to watch a basketball game where a kid representing your school is, you know, not putting in much effort, clearly is disinterested in playing, and if NIL numbers are right, he's getting paid in excess of $50K to play that game. And I'd be pissed off as a fan too. I think fans want more of their student athletes. Hey, if you're going to get a bag, you're going to be held more accountable, and I agree with that.
So, Fitz, I recently discovered your daily YouTube updates. I think they're very good. Yeah, they're quite good, but I have to rib you. Do you smile that much in real life?
No. I'll just be really honest here. That opening came of a philosophy of mine that someone shared with me at my start of my cancer journey. When someone asks you how you're doing, every day you're doing good, you're doing great. And no matter what you're feeling, because it's kind of a self-prophesizing what your day is going to be like. But I do that with the daily delivery. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing great. And that includes even my bad days. And that's just a good way to try to keep your mind in the right place.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, no, you've battled your ailment as bravely as anyone we've seen, and we congratulate you on that. What do you expect in these last two K-State football games? They're obviously going to play in a bowl game as well, regardless of what happens. And these are certainly not easy games, at home against Cincinnati, at Iowa State. What do you expect?
Yeah. I'm going to say something I try never to say on radio or anywhere when discussing my topic of choice. I have no clue. Again, what happened Saturday was so out of context for even the Chris Klieman team, not just K-State athletics, to have back-to-back losses like that where the team looks lethargic. We haven't seen that since probably Ron Prince, but it just didn't fit anything we've seen from Chris Klieman losing back-to-back games like that. So I don't know what we're going to see on Saturday. I just don't. I didn't get a great vibe off the room today, but that might have just be an ongoing hangover on a Monday from losing the game they thought they should win.
Fitz, we really appreciate it. Good talking with you. We'll get with you soon.
Okay, boys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. All your K-State news. He's the editor, publisher, owner of that website. Steve Warner joins us from Buehler High School. We talked to Steve way back before the season even started, expecting a strong year from the Crusaders, and they've given us exactly that. Coach Warner, welcome, and congratulations on a great year so far.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. We've had some ups and downs, but the kids have handled adversity and responded very well.
I fancy myself as someone who thinks he knows a little bit about high school football, mostly from just watching scores and talking to people like you occasionally. This Andover Central team, your opponent Friday night, they're going to be tough, right? You don't have to be very smart to know that.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've got a bunch of kids back from the state runner-up team last year. Yeah, they're very solid.
So let's Turn my mic on. Let's talk about last week. You beat Wamego. You avenged a loss. What does that signify for your team that, you know, just about 6 weeks prior or so, that's a team that you struggled against? Does that mean you're playing your best football at the right time? Is it something else? Kind of where do you see your team after that victory specifically?
Well, I think we're definitely playing our best football of the year. In game one with Wamego, the very opening play of the game, we lost our starting tailback, and he had a dislocated shoulder. The first one that our trainer has never been able to put back in, so it was pretty severe. Wow. But we lost him on the very first play of the game. We were ahead the entire game. 7 minutes to go, we got third down and one, and we get three penalties in a row to make it third and 16. Then they get the ball back, drive down to about our 25-yard line. They run a draw. It's fourth and one. We stop it, and we have a guy tackling the quarterback on his legs, a guy upper body, and he finds a way to just get the ball to a running back who missed his block standing there. Goes in for a touchdown to take the lead for the first time the whole game, and then we throw a pick six. So we felt like that game we should have won, and it definitely opened our kids' eyes up. I mean, we lost to Great Bend, another good football team, earlier in the year too. But those two losses, I feel like, just made us more focused, made us hungry. And going back to Wamego, you know, if you want to call it a revenge game for us or whatever, but our kids were focused, excited, and a very hard-fought football game. Wamego's well-coached also, and their kids play hard. They've got a great facility and a great atmosphere for high school football, and I think our kids just rose to the occasion, and we made very few mistakes. We had some great plays on third down that kept drives alive, and just very proud of the way our kids are playing. Defense has been outstanding all year long. Kids flying to the ball, playing very, very well. And Coach Coles, that's been with me for 21 years, has done a great job with our defense and, you know, has for years. So I just feel like you said, though, we are playing our best football right now.
Steve Warner, our guest, Buehler head football coach, coming off a 28-14 win over Wamego. They now play Andover Central on Friday night in the Class 4A semifinals. You've gone on the road a couple weeks in a row and won. Mulvane, Wamego, now Andover Central on the road. You start to emphasize that road warrior thing at all?
Well, we really haven't in this case. Just because we knew when we were the 5 seed, if we got as far as we wanted to get, we knew that would happen. So I really haven't played that card. Maybe we can this week, but we don't have anything to prove as far as whether we can win on the road or not. We know we can do that, and it's just the opponent we're playing, and we have to play very well. I guess Wamego, one time in the third quarter, the start of the third quarter, we had a 19-play, 9-minute drive, and that's the kind of thing we need against a high-powered offense like Andover Central, too. Long, sustained drives and keeping our defense on the sideline.
So, you know, our good friend Brent Chemnitz likes to say, let me be your experience. I hope I hear from him after mentioning that. But, you know, this is a team, I guess unless they were freshmen and still play on this year's team, they haven't been this far in the playoffs. You obviously have many times. So how do you use your experience in these situations to help or get kids amped up who haven't necessarily been there?
Well, number one, just try to motivate them. Yesterday in our meeting, when we watched film together, I wore my state championship ring from 2013, and I've worn it one other time other than probably the week after we won it. And I just told the kids that I want them to dream of it. I said, you know me, I'm not one that's going to brag. I'm not here to tell you that, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. I want you to have one of these. You have an opportunity. We win two more football games, and you can get a ring. So just need to, I just think, keep motivating them like I like to do and keep them focused. They were suited up with us that year that last time we were in a state semifinal game. So they've seen that, and the game can't be any bigger, you know, than what last week was. So they're used to it, the pressure of it. And I feel like it does mount a little bit each week, but not really, not when you've got a group of kids that are hungry and they just want to play football.
Steve Warner, our guest, the head football coach at Buehler. So when you have an opponent like Andover Central, and I don't want to build them up too much, but they've had a remarkable year. They've lost only one game, and that was by 6 points to Goddard. When you look at them on film and you gather your coaches around to study that tape and you talk to your team, what do you say? Because it's going to take big effort defensively to slow these guys down. You feel like your personnel, that you have the kind of personnel and the kind of technique and the kind of game plan that can, you mentioned a 19-play, 9-minute drive. Do you have the personnel that can keep the ball away from them?
Well, I really feel like we do. You know, our offensive line is big and physical, and we've got running backs that run hard. We take, for the most part this year, we've taken care of the ball. And we have a defense that's been playing very well, too. And, they have tremendous athletes there, but our defensive line is very small, very quick, very aggressive, and we've put pressure on every quarterback we've seen. The best team probably we've seen all year long was Great Bend, and we sacked them 6 times, and 64% of their plays were negative plays. So I feel like, you know, we've got to put pressure on quarterbacks and we've got to be able to do the things well. But, for our kids, I'm not going to tell them anything different than that because, they see the film. They know that they're talented, but they also put their pants on the same way we do.
Yeah, the two losses you had came within 3 weeks of each other. Do those sidetrack you mentally at all? Are those difficult to overcome, especially when you have really high expectations for what you can be? Do they make you second guess, or do they even reinforce what you already think or already believe what your team can be?
Well, the Wamego game was miserable. We had that game pretty much won, getting ready to score there, and then you lose a game like that. I don't care how long you've been coaching. It's going to rip your heart out. And but I think it also did reinforce what we did. We did what we wanted to do with them. We kept the ball on the ground, and we moved it. And against Great Bend, we were ahead of them in the second quarter. We threw another pick six, and then that's when the floodgates kind of opened with them. But we were up by six, moving the ball on the ground and through a play action. So then some bad things happened there, but I still feel like it reinforced some things we did. We've made changes along the way. So, if you win every game, you don't maybe make personnel changes. We've had two running backs at our tailback spot that have played well for us, but Mitchell McDaniel is the one that we put in there now. So by losing those games, he's a senior that has played tailback pretty much his whole career, but last year it benefited us for him to go to wideout. Well, then when Ben got hurt, we moved him. It took us a couple of games to see that we needed to go with Mitchell, but we did. That helped our team. Our backup quarterback is a linebacker for us that at 6'1", 230 pounds, isn't your prototypical quarterback. So we moved him to tight end. That's helped us a lot. So with losing, it makes you reevaluate everything you do personnel-wise. But anybody that's watched me coach over the years, we're going to stay with what we love to do. Obviously, always have wrinkles, but we like the I formation. We want to be able to run the football, and we find personnel to fit that for us.
Well, we can't wait. This is going to be a great, great matchup in Class 4A in the semifinals here in the western half of the state. Buehler on the road at Andover Central on Friday night. Steve Warner has been our coach. He's been doing this a long time. This is a big reason why you do it, these kinds of games, all right?
Well, it really is. And winning the game at Wamego, seeing our kids the way they were excited, seeing our community, our student body, everybody that by us have winning a football game, the excitement that was there. We had a great crowd that traveled to Wamego. Just the excitement of it all. And, of course, I talk about retirement. And my wife sends me a picture of me coaching. She says, I don't want you to ever retire. It's just something that she knows I love, and she sees the joy that I have in it. And I love the relationships, and there's always bumps in the roads that you have to deal with kids, and if they're getting along. You have to deal with parents and complaints. But I tell you what, the positives outweigh the negative, and I love what I'm doing.
Well, it would be very fitting if Buehler were to go on and win this thing in honor of the late, great Chuck Porter, certainly a guy that I have deep respect for. I know you do, too. So good luck, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Steve Warner from Buehler High School. Yeah, that whole Chuck Porter thing just came into my brain. He not only coached at Buehler, but lived in Buehler. Not Hutch. He lived in Buehler, just down the street from the high school, and passed away in the summertime. And one of the best. All right, we got another hour left to go here on the show. We'll talk some NFL football. It's Jive Talk, 869-1240. You're welcome to weigh in when we come back.
Pay attention. I need you to pay attention.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You've made it your mission in life to downplay me as much as possible. Why would my own son do that?
It's a strange world.
Jeff Lutz.
Yeah, I'm disgusted by, they want to know about me.
Me likey.
I do this show daily with someone who's, frankly, not too entertaining.
Here you go again, Mr. Humble.
I can feel the love.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
All right. Welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power producing and engineering. Our IHOP hotline is up and running, 869-1240. If you'd like to give us a call, Chiefs coming off a loss yesterday at Buffalo. Not that surprising, although several of us picked the Chiefs. I don't know.
We wanted to.
In hindsight, I don't know why.
Because they hadn't lost yet. They'd won all these games.
You never question yourself. And that's why there's very little growth. I question myself.
Yeah, I never.
And I
Who are you talking to, man?
What do you mean?
Who are you talking to?
You.
I'm not going to sit here and apologize for the way I picked. It's in ink. It's in stone. I picked it. I thought it was reasonable to believe that the Chiefs would win.
Well, given the game, while it may have been reasonable, the Chiefs got a lot of issues for a one-loss team. They can't protect their quarterback, who was remember in the good old days when nobody laid a finger on Patrick Mahomes.
Well, even if
nobody got close to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
those days are over.
And
this offensive line cannot protect him, and they don't do a very good job run blocking either.
Kareem Hunt runs.
What are they going to do?
I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to go with the personnel that they have. Coach them up, I guess. Get that guy from BYU who's played a lot of left tackle now. See if he can get better as he earns more reps.
They got problems all along that line.
I know.
Their secondary's faded. Even their now I know you give Buffalo a lot of credit. But that's another team that you didn't know any of these wide receivers. Amari Cooper, they got in a trade deadline deal.
But they have Josh Allen. And he's a better passer right now than Patrick Mahomes is. Is that fair to say? I don't know. When it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, now I do question it. But I said so there you go.
Josh Allen can beat Patrick Mahomes in the regular season. Can't beat him in the playoffs. And until he gets over that hurdle, I don't think you can say what you just said.
And that game is still scheduled right now. It's going to be played in Kansas City. They need to lose once more, and Buffalo needs to run the table for that to be any different. And we'll see if that happens.
Well, Kansas City has a couple games they could lose, but more than a couple. Frankly, I mean,
more than a couple.
Yeah, they're 9-1.
You think they could lose three more games?
I think they could. And here are the games I'm worried about for them: Chargers at home, Houston at home, at Pittsburgh, at Denver. That's four games that could be problematic the way the Chiefs are currently playing.
Could be. But I don't know. They're 9-1.
That's all I'm saying.
They're 9-1.
They're still good. I'm not saying they're not going to – I'm not even saying they're still not the favorite to win it all. I'm just saying that
– Detroit is the betting favorite to win it all.
I don't see them – turning it on the way they did in the playoffs last year.
Why not?
Because they don't have the offensive line to do that.
They were missing a lot of pieces. Not missing, but they were just short. You have receivers. They make it work. I have no – just talk to me in January, basically.
Getting Isaiah Pacheco back will be huge. They need his fire and tenacity. Kareem Hunt's fine. Kareem Hunt's done exactly what they needed him to do.
I think he's good.
You would argue that they should ask him to do more. You know, he only had 14 carries yesterday. Maybe they should have depended more on him.
I don't know.
Kelce was not a big factor in the game yesterday.
Not a factor at all.
Worthy was, but then he caught a ball out of bounds that shouldn't have. First of all, it was thrown too close to the sideline.
Tough angle.
But he didn't show any ability or awareness to try to get both feet in.
Things happen.
I don't buy that theory. I don't go with the things happen theory. I'm critical.
So everybody has to be perfect.
No, I'm saying that was a big play in the game.
He produced a big play in the game. He was one of their best weapons, if not the best weapon yesterday in that game.
Sure he was, but catch the ball and get your feet down.
Okay, you go do it.
That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. You go do it.
No, it's not a matter of me being able to do it.
Well, if you're going to criticize somebody, you should.
Oh, I can't.
You should know.
I can't criticize somebody unless I have the ability to do it.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying unless you know exactly how difficult it is, then maybe that shouldn't be your first, you know, your first instinct. It would be to just, it's a tough play.
My first instinct is to say that ball's got to be caught and both feet have to get in.
Okay.
That's my first instinct. It's still my instinct today.
All right.
Okay.
So I guess it's just easy
then. You can point to Patrick Mahomes and say, maybe he got it to him a tad late. I'll listen to that. But he got it to him in time for Worthy to get his feet down.
All right.
Don't argue with me on that.
I'm arguing.
I know what I'm talking about. So the Chiefs have basically a bye week this week against Carolina and another bye week against the Vegas Raiders. By the way, where's Cap?
Call him.
Is it time?
What do you mean, is it time? Nothing has changed.
How do these people, these soft people, and you heard me, the Shannon Greats and the Raider Nates.
Oh, but it's not soft to quit.
And the Anthony Capras. How do they put up with this year after year?
What's soft about it?
Soft.
What?
You go to a team that wins for you.
You like who you like. Just stop. Not everyone jumps off like you do.
Like I have. Who have I got?
You never really.
The Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Well, I like them. Can I like them?
The only reason you like them is because they're winning.
They're entertaining.
You wouldn't care about them.
They remind me of the greatest show on turf. They have all these. Do you see this? Points they put up?
Yeah, they put up a lot of points, but they run the ball. They don't have... So,
you know, the greatest show on turf had a guy named Marshall.
Yeah,
Ball,
he caught the ball.
Who ran the ball.
Okay, is Jahmyr Gibbs going to get 110 receptions?
You understand that Marshall Faulk was a running
it's
back.
It's a different type of offense. They have one really elite receiver.
You know that they throw
receiver.
The ball to Jahmyr Gibbs quite often, too.
He's not Marshall Faulk.
I didn't say he was.
Okay, so it's different.
There are very few Marshall Faulks
out there. My point.
But do you understand did you watch the Rams?
No, never did. Missed it.
No, I mean it. Did you watch them?
Of course not.
Well, but you don't watch that much. I don't know if you got caught up in them at all.
Of course I did. And they were better than this team. Is that rain?
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
It is pouring. We are having the wettest November on record. And we're going to get upwards of 3 inches in this one today and tonight.
Is that it for November?
It looks like it, looking at the future radar. This is something you ought to know. You're around.
I'm the one who put it out today that we had the wettest November.
Meteorologists all day long.
1909, the record previous.
But we still need, 20 million gallons to get Cheney
something
back?
Something like 8.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't understand the drought.
I don't think anybody does. Why do we have to still practice water restrictions? We're surrounded by water.
We need an explanation of things that we're not getting. And I think we all want to know a little bit more.
And it can't come from a political... I want to hear an expert. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me a rain guy.
Well, why don't we get one on this show?
Okay, I'll get Jake Dunn on the show.
No, not him.
What do you mean?
He's got a vested interest.
What is his
best? He's pro-rain.
He is?
I want somebody who can give it to us down the middle.
Why do you think he's pro-rain? What does that even mean?
Don't you get more viewers when it rains?
Does that mean he controls whether it rains?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in his world, he's a rain fan.
But what does that have to do with anything?
It's like I'm a Lions fan.
Yeah, we know.
You wake up in the morning as a weather person, and you've got some weather to talk about. You're a fan of that.
No, everybody watches the weather. Why do you think we have 14 meteorologists?
You wake up on a Monday morning and it's...
I don't like your sunny and demeanor
cool.
today.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't like your demeanor today. I came in kind of...
What day do you like my
I kind of came in pretty chill, just ready to roll with the punches. And I got a guy just steamrolling again. And I got to put up this fight
that
I didn't want to put up.
You couldn't give me a bigger compliment.
I'm sure I couldn't. What was I about to look up? The rain, something?
I got you so rattled you don't know what
I'm not
you're doing.
Rattled. I'm irritated.
Look at you. Your thumb's trembling.
My thumb always trembles, probably.
you're trying to look up something on your phone and you can't do it because you're shaking.
Yeah, I'm deathly afraid.
I don't get it.
Just let me go back to my chill nature.
Well, you didn't have any energy.
No, I was just
what
chill.
I do is energize people.
But I need you to relax.
No, why would I do that?
Because I just need you to.
For what reason?
Just for the good of today. Just for the
what
great,
happened?
The greater
what
good.
What happened over the weekend?
Nothing
what,
really.
What brought you down?
Nothing really. I'll tell you later, maybe.
There's always something. Why do you try to deny?
Well, we had a cat show up.
Here we go. Here it is.
No, this is
not. This is it.
Nah.
We had a cat show up.
Yeah, it's in our shed now.
Okay.
I don't know what we're gonna. What's I don't know if it belongs to somebody. I don't know who. I don't know what
and
it
that's
is.
That's what's got you. I get that.
It's a little. I mean, it's not.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But you live out there where that can't be that rare. Does it have a chip?
That's what we're going to try to find out.
But it's in your shed right now.
Yeah.
How old of a
didn't
cat
want it,
does it
didn't want it out
be?
In the elements, didn't want it exposed to predators, if you know.
How old of a cat does it appear to be?
Youngish. Probably not fully grown.
Is it social?
Very. Which makes me think maybe it belongs to somebody, which is a whole other stress in its own. And then we got to give it back.
So there you go. That's what we've gotten to the bottom of. What do
maybe.
You mean?
Maybe.
That's what's bothering
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, there you go. I should be a therapist.
Yeah, but no.
What's the job of a therapist?
I don't know.
To
do you know?
Make reluctant people willing to share their most personal feeling.
Yeah, but I would have shared that anyway. But if you want to feel
well,
good
you,
about
you, is there something else?
I don't know. Not really.
Why not just air it all out?
No, absolutely not.
What's the other thing that's on your mind? Is it serious?
No. It's not serious
does
at all.
Does it involve a cat?
No.
Does it involve a job?
Sorta.
Uh-oh.
But it's nothing. Don't even worry
does
about it.
Does it involve the Joe Hour feature?
No.
What does it involve?
You'll be mad at me, so we'll talk about it off the air.
Good, we'll talk about it off the air. I just don't like this hemming and hawing stuff.
There's no hemming and hawing.
You got more issues than Newsweek, as they used to say.
As a newsstand. Newsweek.
No, Newsweek has a lot
Newsweek,
of
Newsweek, I think, is out
check
of publication.
Out, check out how many issues Newsweek published.
I would, but I can't get any signal in this barn that we're
Newsweek,
in.
Newsweek put out a magazine a week for many, many years. Right?
I don't know.
And it worked. My analogy worked. You got more issues than Newsweek. So anyway, the Chiefs have two games they'll win.
I'm trying to figure out.
They'll get to 11-1. Are we in agreement on that?
Yes.
That there is no threat whatsoever from Carolina or Vegas.
You wouldn't think.
Then the Chargers come in. Interesting game
they
because
they always beat the Chargers.
They're getting
though.
Better. Yeah, but not Jim Harbaugh.
Everybody. Anybody they've
then
brought
Then they go to Cleveland.
In.
That's a game they can roll over and play dead in and still win. Then they finish the season with Houston at home, Pittsburgh and Denver on the road.
It's not easy.
Not an easy schedule left for the Chiefs, other than the easy teams they play. They've
yeah.
got you can bank three wins.
What was the
They're
other one?
12-1 without even suiting up. Carolina, Vegas, Cleveland.
Poor Cleveland.
But the other four, Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Broncos, 2-2 is my guess. So that gets them to what?
14-3. It's pretty good. I don't know that they'll lose two, but they might.
14-3 is what that gets them to. Meanwhile,
Pittsburgh's a pretty good matchup for them.
You've got Buffalo. Who has lost two games this year. They're 9-2. They have San Francisco at home. 49ers aren't doing much right now. At the Rams, always tough. The Rams are flaky. At Detroit, tough game. New England, the Jets, and New England. That's their final three. That's JV games.
They should be winning those games.
If they beat San Francisco this week at home, they will have a better record going into the playoffs than the Chiefs.
Could happen.
You heard it right here, ladies and gentlemen.
They'd be the one seed.
Actually, they'd have maybe the same record. But wouldn't Buffalo get the tiebreaker?
Yeah, head-to-head's first tiebreaker, as far as I know.
So that's what I'm saying.
You think any AFC championship game between Buffalo and Kansas City will be played in Buffalo?
That's how I see it right now. Now,
Chiefs went in there last year and won. And they won at Baltimore.
Well, sure. And I'm not saying it's not possible.
I want to see that game. I'd rather it be in Buffalo again. And they won it off of a missed kick.
Here's what the Steelers have left. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cleveland again at Philadelphia, at Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. No, sir. It's Buffalo and Kansas City playing for the one seed.
Yeah, yesterday was Pittsburgh's first division game of the year. And they won it. They're 1-0 in their division.
Now, should I go ahead and look up the Chargers just in case?
I wish you would.
You wouldn't think so.
I don't think you need to. Let's talk about something
Baltimore,
else.
Atlanta, Kansas City, Tampa, Denver, New England, Vegas. Not a tough schedule. Baltimore certainly difficult. At Atlanta, at Kansas City. They're no threat. It's Buffalo or Kansas City, ladies and gentlemen.
Probably.
You like the way I kind of broke
Pittsburgh?
Do you like the way I kind of broke that down?
Where do you think Pittsburgh trips up?
I think they have very
Kansas City, but you think?
I think they have several opportunities to trip up. First of all, they'll win at Cleveland. Then they go to Cincinnati. Nothing for sure there. At home against Cleveland, then at Philadelphia, at Baltimore, at home against Kansas City.
Yeah, that's a problem.
A lot of trip-ups.
Could be. Or they'll just keep doing what they're doing.
A lot of trip-ups.
Taking every team out of what they do.
We'll see, but I don't see them in the discussion.
They're in the discussion.
Not in my discussion.
Based on what they've done and what they can do.
You can't force me to discuss.
When you have that good of a defense, you said it yourself, they've got to be in the discussion.
I don't like their schedule. Don't like it.
Well, we'll see what happens in the playoffs.
They still got to play the Bengals twice. They got to play the Eagles and the Raiders. And the Kansas City. Tough. All right, we'll take a break, come back, continue the discussion, maybe get into a little college football. We've got one of the most intriguing games in a long time coming up Saturday, and I'll tell you about it next.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90-plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
The IHOP Hotline, 869-1240. Brought to you by IHOP. It's the official breakfast partner of Xbox. So I alluded to a game that is right at the top of the list this year in college football, one that has never been there before. Do you have a guess as to what that is?
Indiana, Ohio State.
There you go.
Yeah.
In Columbus.
That feels a little Andale Cheney-ish to me.
Well, don't you kind of hope Indiana can... Now, their coach just signed a big, long extension for a lot of money. Indiana's never been in this spot before. Don't you kind of hope they pull it off?
I don't know that they're going to pull it off, but I would like to see a competitive game.
I kind of hope they pull it off.
Indiana hasn't beaten anybody, so we don't really even know.
Well, now, wait a doggone minute before you start doing that stuff. The anybodies you're speaking of might disagree with you.
I doubt it, but you can certainly...
Well, I don't like it when you just blanket.
You can certainly check.
I don't like it when you just blanket statement something.
Okay, well, they're undefeated, but they're the third-ranked team in the college football playoff in their own conference. And, yes, I get Oregon is undefeated too, but they have a win over Ohio State and Boise State, which looks a lot better every week because Boise State's probably going to be in the playoff also.
Boise State's pretty good. Why am I struggling to get my internet to work here?
Because it's a bad signal in here. Are you connected?
My signal works just fine. We're here at the Rudd Center.
Is the college
Indiana 7-0 in the conference, 10-0 overall. Oregon 8-0, 11-0 in the Big Ten. Ohio State 6-1, 9-1. Indiana has defeated Florida International.
Oh, my
Their
goodness.
Their coach got fired today,
That was Florida.
Western
that
Illinois.
That was Florida Atlantic.
Huh?
That was Florida Atlantic.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
UCLA, big win. Won against Charlotte, beat Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, and Michigan. They have Ohio State and then Purdue.
Well, they'll beat Purdue. Because Purdue's got awful.
The Big Ten will get at least three teams in the college football playoff.
At least two.
And Indiana could make it four with a competitive
showing.
Is it
the top five?
Indiana, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State right now are all in.
Right.
You said they'll get three. I say four. I think they got a great look at
If four. Indiana loses, they're not
if Ohio State loses, they're in trouble.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
That'd be their second loss.
Georgia has two losses. Alabama has two losses. Everybody has two losses. Ohio State loses to two undefeated teams, they're in.
Now, I don't necessarily see it that way.
Trust me.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
I do know what I'm talking about. There isn't just this litany of 1-0 lost teams out
right
there.
Right now in the SEC, you've got Texas A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, all 8-2 or better. You could,
and I don't think all of them are getting
four of those are in.
So now you have eight out of the Big Ten.
Right, this is going to be basically a
SEC.
Big Ten SEC challenge. One from the Big 12, Boise State.
Notre Dame,
and one from the ACC. That's what it's going to be, my friend. And for you to think otherwise is disingenuous.
Well, what are the rankings right now?
The ACC right now, SMU.
I don't care about the ACC.
Well, they're going to get a team in.
Yeah, great.
And right now it's SMU. So you'd have...
No, it's Miami.
No, it's SMU.
No, literally, it's Miami. They put these rankings out every week.
Right now, I predict SMU.
Well, you can predict whatever you want, but the rankings show differently.
Well, I don't care about Miami. They've lost the game.
So is SMU.
No, they have not. Or have they? Yeah, they lost the game.
Right.
Who'd they lose to?
I don't know.
Well, why don't you know?
I don't follow the Pony Express the way I did back in the 70s.
Well, they're certainly worth following. I don't understand it.
I don't think it's for you to understand. I think it might be above your head.
Miami, who'd they lose to?
Miami lost to Georgia Tech.
That's a terrible loss.
I'm
Would
sorry.
You at least agree to that?
It's not a great loss. I don't know that I'd classify it as terrible. Georgia Tech is not terrible. Georgia Tech is not good. Here are the top 12 right now. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana.
Wait a minute. Start that over.
Oregon.
Okay.
And this is last week, so it will change. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana, BYU, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Miami, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia.
What'd I tell you? That's basically what I just said.
I don't know how they're keeping Boise State out.
That's nine teams from either the Big Ten or SEC.
Will BYU drop out?
It's the national football title hunt, which is exactly the way it's been designed, has become a Big Ten SEC challenge. That's what we have.
Sure, as it should be.
No, it shouldn't be.
No, those are where the best teams are.
It should not be.
Those are where the best teams are.
It absolutely should not be that.
Of course it should.
You just said Boise State should be in.
But they're not, according to...
You want to live in a world where Boise State, having the kind of year they're having, is not in the Big 12 or the national championship hunt?
I'm confused because I thought the top five conference champions all got in. Is it four now? And could that mean that BYU is out and Boise State is in? What if there are no Big 12 teams? Is that
there
possible?
There will be a Big 12 team because
possible?
The champion goes.
No, the...
Yes.
I don't
the
know.
The champion goes.
I don't...
Good grief, man.
It doesn't have...
The four conference champions go.
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily.
No, that's not how it is.
It is how it is.
No, it's the top five or four ranked conference champions.
Wrong.
It doesn't have to be from...
And those are always going to be the top four.
Unless Boise State is in that.
No, Mountain West isn't there.
Their schedule is.
SMU lost to BYU back in week four. 18-15. So, yeah, it's an SEC Big Ten challenge. Doesn't interest me. May not watch.
The five highest.
Think about that.
So it is the five highest ranked conference champions. So a Big 12 team will get in. And the next seven highest ranked teams will be in the playoff.
What'd I just tell you?
But we don't have five conferences, do we?
Sure we do.
No, we don't. Not in last week's rankings. So that's dumb. Why are we getting rankings that aren't reflective?
Why are you so confusing?
I'm not confusing. The rankings are confusing.
You've confused our audience.
You're supposed to pick the five best.
Just because they're ranked doesn't mean you pick them.
No, listen. The five highest ranked conference champions, they've only put out four in their latest rankings.
According to the rankings.
Right, the college football playoff rankings.
Doesn't matter.
No, the CFP people put them out.
So what?
So why would they put out rankings that aren't reflective of how
Boise
State
will get in?
But why aren't they in now?
And one of the SEC schools will be out. That's how that's... You know, you've confused our listening audience to the point now where I had this so crystal clear.
No, the CFP confused itself by only ranking... In the top 12, four conference champions.
I couldn't have explained this better.
Okay, then explain it.
I'm done now. I'm not rehashing it.
No, we're not rehashing
it. Play it again.
We're clearing up the confusion that I caused, apparently.
Max,
do
that in one of our highlights, please.
No, I want to hear your explanation.
I'm tired now. I've gotten I'm not as sharp as I was when I explained it. But I explained it perfectly. And
well, explain it again.
For those who were listening.
I obviously didn't get it.
Until you muddled it.
I obviously didn't get it, so re-explain it to me.
No, I don't have time right now. I got to get to a break.
I didn't think so.
I got to get to a break here shortly.
Yeah, we can break whenever we want.
Some key games in the Big 12 this week, including, for that conference championship berth, who's going to be in it? Colorado at Kansas. Of course, that's in Arrowhead Stadium. Right now, would you pick Kansas to win that game?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't. I'd think twice about it.
Aren't they rolling now?
Yeah, so is Colorado.
Don't you kind of see them in the getting a bowl bid?
I don't care if they get a bowl bid.
But isn't that where this seems to be headed?
If they do, great. If they don't, great.
Also, I'll explain it to you during the break.
How do bowls work?
You get one if you go 500 or better.
Well, not
and
necessarily.
Even at times, if you don't.
Right.
You gotta there's get not enough teams for them.
Six wins is what gets you there.
Yeah, we'll have all that. And I'll explain it crystal clear.
Try to explain the college football playoff system.
Five teams go, and you wish you luck.
Which five?
Five out of one of the conferences.
Which conferences?
SEC.
You have no idea what you're doing, do you?
Beautifully explained.
Good job.
All right, time for a break, Max. I'm going to pummel this kid.
What did I do?
I'm going to throw you up in the netting here.
Cool. Can I sleep there?
And do something. Tomorrow on the show, we will have a game. John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant on to talk about this KU football resurgence, which has resulted in a couple of big wins in a row. A little news to report that came across recently in the last few minutes. Tyquan Thornton, released by New England, has signed with the Chiefs practice squad, wide receiver, second-round pick of the Patriots in 2022. Hadn't gotten much done with New England, but one of those speed receivers that the Chiefs like.
Yeah, I thought when I saw that he'd been let go that maybe the Chiefs would take a flyer just because he is that downfield type of threat that they probably want more of.
He can't catch.
Well, he's probably not very good.
Seems
that's
to
why
be the indication.
That's why he's on their practice squad.
Of course, what I'm reading is from critics of the Patriots who say, if you're going to get cut by the Patriots. And by the way, that's another young quarterback who seems to be making some strides. That's not a very good football team yet. But Drake May looks like he's kind of – I think he's going to be okay.
The only one who isn't making strides is Caleb Williams.
Hey, he played okay yesterday.
They can't score.
He played better than Jordan Love did. What's happened to Jordan Love? That's my question.
He might be hurt. I don't know. Maybe last year was just a little bit of a mirage. I don't know.
I'm not ready to count out Caleb Williams. I am ready to count out the ownership and front office of the Chicago Bears. They're a joke.
What about the coaching staff?
That's what I mean. Everything.
You didn't mention them.
Well, the front office. They go into the front office.
Sometimes. Do you think their office is in the front?
Everybody has an office in the front. Well, our office is in the front of our building here at League 42. When you walk in the front door,
that's usually there's probably a receptionist at the front, though.
You can't just have a front door.
You can't just walk into
KWCH.
We don't have a front office.
You don't have a front office.
Uh-uh.
I've been there numerous times. There's that young woman or man or whomever.
Oh, we kind of do have a front office
sitting there at the front.
Well, it's hard to know what the front is when I walk in.
Well, you go into the newsroom.
Is a different place than where...
I go into the visitors area.
Right. There's nobody
there.
I'm
sure they'd let me in the newsroom if I chose to do that.
We discussed that and decided that we won't.
Wouldn't they love to add me to that arsenal?
What are you going
to
do?
Whatever they want me to do.
Okay, come be our assignment editor.
Well, I don't know if I want to do that.
Okay, then we'll pass.
I don't know. I think... I spoke to a group at IMA today, and they're going to help support.
Be honest, am I supposed to know what IMA is?
It's an insurance agency in downtown Wichita. Okay. They're huge. They got many, many employees, and they have a beautiful building there at the corner of Topeka, Douglas and Topeka, or Douglas and Emporia, somewhere. You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I get it.
They're on the northwest corner.
Whatever, dude. What's your point?
My point being that now I can't remember my point.
You wouldn't talk to him.
What were we talking about before that?
I don't know.
Well, what were we talking about? You here's what you do.
Front offices.
Yeah.
Channel 12.
Nah, that doesn't seem to ring a bell.
Being an assignment editor, me keeping you out of the newsroom.
Doesn't seem to ring a bell.
And then you wouldn't talk to IMA.
I told them that, you know, back in the day I worked at the Wichita Eagle. And it seems like that was so long ago and another lifetime ago. And it just, and I did it for 43 years. How can it be so long ago? How can it be?
A lot has happened. It's like a post-COVID, pre-COVID thing.
How can it be like another life?
That's what I'm telling you. Did you like my mention of you in the Friday Five?
Didn't see it. What'd you say?
What? I said you wrote that article about Garden Plain and Beloit and then went on to live a reclusive and an anonymous life.
Really?
Yeah.
Why get mean on me?
I wasn't mean.
Well, I as I told these people, my nature is to be. What is it when you're not outgoing? You're
reclusive. You're a hermit.
What's the word for it?
Reclusive.
I don't think I'm reclusive. What's the word for it, man?
I don't know. I tried to tell you.
I don't know why you can't figure it out. I
secluded.
The only reason I work with you is when I have these very occasional lapses. I want you to be able
I
to...
I gave you the word.
I'm a little more...
Insulated.
Inhibited. I'll say that.
Not even close.
But when I get on this radio show, or when I get in front of a group to speak, I kind of feel the need to have this other part of my personality take over. You know what I'm saying?
Here's from Oxford Languages. Yeah, sure.
No, I mean, really, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%. Reserved?
No.
Introverted?
There you go. I'm more of an introvert.
Withdrawn?
No, I said the word.
Antisocial? Aloof?
I'm more introverted than I am extroverted.
Misanthropic?
Shut up or I am going to kill you. I swear.
Okay.
At some point, you just don't care anymore.
Reticent?
But introverted. So, yeah, I am. I am introverted.
Okay.
But I'm able to turn it on.
Yeah, that's what we're all doing here.
You barely.
No, I turn it on. This is me on.
This is barely. I mean, you're like, you might be turned on, but I'm hitting the table, you know, trying to get a reaction.
Yeah, just don't
blow. Did that come across?
Just don't blow in me.
You know how you turn something on and it doesn't.
Let me get my lines out, dog.
And it doesn't come on? And
sure.
You hit it until it comes on? What'd you say that you thought was good?
It's too late now, man.
Why are you using dog and man?
I don't know. Because my daughter just came through and I'm feeling young again,
I guess.
Is
that what she says?
She says, bruh.
She does?
Yeah. It's annoying.
Well, that's just unacceptable.
She says dog.
She says dog?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
She is like...
Aaron.
She's like any meme or reel or TikTok thing you've ever seen. She's that. She's a stereotype. But we'll break her of those habits.
Well, I'm just shocked.
Why?
I didn't think she'd succumb to that.
Of course she did. Of course she did.
I've never been that guy or that person that used that hip language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
No, really? Have you ever heard me do it?
No.
I'm not like Jim Rome, dude, and...
He's from Cali.
Bro, and... I don't care where you're from.
You should. We all have dialects and...
Here's what I say to somebody.
What's the word I'm thinking of?
Habits.
No.
Here's what I say to somebody. Hello, sir. How are you today? Not, hey, dog, what's up? What's up, dog?
What's up, dog?
Nobody does... That is the
no,
most.
It's not used like that. It's like more like exasperated. Like, come on, dog.
Really?
Yeah.
And you know what?
Dog, seriously?
You know what an idiot is?
Huh.
Somebody who would say that.
You're calling my daughter an idiot.
I'd have to hear it first.
Well, I'm telling you.
I'm not calling her an idiot, but it's obvious she's gotten that from you.
No.
And I just don't agree with it.
I don't think she got it from me.
I wish you guys would clean that up. By the way, I'm looking forward to this tomorrow night. The Cavaliers and the Celtics.
It's a big one.
Cavaliers 15-0. That's amazing. That's pretty cool.
It is
Boston
very cool.
With the second best record in the East at 11-3. This one being played in Boston. You know who else is kind of surprising me?
Memphis.
How about the Houston Rockets? 10-4.
They're a good young team.
Freddie Van Vliet.
And you know what they have?
They have Freddie Van Vliet.
They have trade chips.
Is Fred Van Vliet a trade chip?
No, I wouldn't think
so. Why would you trade him?
No, I don't think he is. But I think they have draft picks and young players, and they can go get a superstar. Giannis.
Well, go to Houston.
Me?
No, I like Houston. I like the Rockets. That's a team I have some history with, if you'll remember.
Elvin Hayes.
Right. The Big E. And Hakeem and Clyde. And
yeah, when they won, you liked them. We get it.
No, I like those players. I told you, with the NBA, it's all about players.
Okay. Well, the greatest players. I mean, I'm not hearing you like Jamal Mashburn.
Sure, I like the best players. What's wrong with that?
I mean, it's just easy.
I like the Celtics when they had Larry Bird and Kevin McHale. And,
of course, it's
and
easy to
crew.
Like all the best.
I like the Warriors.
Why don't you like Dana Barros?
I like the Warriors because they have friends of our show.
Why didn't you like Malik Sealy, God rest his soul? I liked him.
I don't mind him.
And Bobby Phils.
You know, I liked the Knicks when they had
the best players.
Willis Reed and Clyde Frazier and Earl Monroe and Dave Stallworth. Dave Stallworth was the hook to the Knicks.
Well, I liked the Mavericks when they had Jason Kidd and Jimmy Jackson and Jamal Mashburn.
I liked the Washington Bullets. That's what they were called at the time, when Dave Stallworth got traded over there. They didn't have a very good team. They had Kevin Greavy and Wesley Unseld.
I liked the Denver Nuggets when they had Jalen Rose and Antonio McDice.
No, you didn't. I never heard you say a word about him.
You never heard me say a word about
no,
Jalen.
Never heard it.
Remember when he came to Wichita twice?
Does he have a show now with the guy he did the show on ESPN with?
No.
Well, this morning I was rattling around with my phone. And that show came on. What's it called?
Jalen and Jacoby.
And they said, give the people what the – I don't know how I got it on my phone. You sure they don't have that
show? I thought Jalen did a different podcast.
Are you sure they don't have that show?
I didn't think so.
It came up on my phone at 2:30 in the morning.
What are you doing?
I don't know what I'm doing. At 70, you rarely know what you're doing. But I tell you what, I had my phone out. Oh, I was doing Wordle. I do Wordle now when I wake up in the middle of the night.
I don't think they are together anymore. Anyway, continue.
And as I was fumbling around, give the people, you know.
Got to give the people.
Right, that came up on my phone.
Jalen, he's the man.
Are you sure they don't have that
show? It ended in 2022.
Why did I have it?
That's a hard question to answer.
That was very disconcerting. And I wasn't dreaming it. It actually happened. All right, that's it for a Monday. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate our guest, Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com, Bueller coach Steve Warner. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.